they've just had this supernatural mountaintop experience in which they were discovering that Jesus was not only a healer, he was not only a teacher, but he was something more than that, the Son of God.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Jobe. Welcome to Straight Talk. I want to tell you that it's such an incredible privilege to be able to come to you via the airwaves practically every day of the week. And I don't take that responsibility lightly. I believe that some of you have entrusted me with time every week to hear the instruction from the Word. And I pray for our radio listeners, and I pray for those of you that are out there slugging it out in the trenches. I realize that there's some of you listening to me right now who the big burden on your soul is your marriage. I know that some of you are listening right now and you have a wayward son or daughter that's become a prodigal, and you've prayed and tried to reach out to them, but you've reached the end of your rope in knowing what to do humanly, but you believe that there's still hope in God. Some of you are at a place of financial crisis where you don't know where the next mortgage payment is going to come from. There are some of you right now listening to this program that you're in cancer treatment and your life is hanging on the edge, and one chemotherapy session to the another, you just don't know if you can make it. There's someone here that has broken up with a longtime boyfriend or girlfriend, and you thought it was leading to marriage, and your dreams and expectations have been shattered. I know that there are people listening to this program right now that desperately need to hear from God. You need to know that God is not distant and far. You need to know that the heavens are not brass. You need to know that God still hears. Well, I hope that my voice today would be able to encourage you, remind you, be a sense of hope and inspiration that God has not abandoned you, that your prayers are not in vain, that God still keeps his promises, that God is aware of your situation, that there is a God that is sovereign above the universe, and nothing is too hard for God. I want to remind you, I want to build your faith. I don't want you to lose hope. I want you to hang on, persevere, because God is not finished with you yet.
Yes, thanks, Pastor Mark. Well, good evening, everyone. Tonight on Straight Talk, we are going to continue with Pastor Mark's series called Jesus Up Close. And tonight will be part four, Believing Enough to Change. Our text will be found in the book of Mark, chapter 9. We'll be in verses 14 through 29. Here's Pastor Mark with his message called Believing Enough to Change.
Many of you have known about Christ, and you've grown up seeing a cross on the steeple of the church you live next to. And some of you went to Sunday school when you were young, or did your first communion when you were 7 or 8, and or you did your catechism, or you attended for a while and then you just stopped because Jesus seemed so far, so distant, so over there while you were here. And you've never really sensed that you were close up to Jesus. And I'm doing a series. We are all throughout the New Life congregations doing a series called Jesus Up Close, and really talking to you about what it means to experience the power of God and to see the compassion in the eyes of Jesus and through his encounters with people in the New Testament. John chapter 9, verse 14 through 29 is about a father who is desperate about his son's condition. It's one of the more compelling stories of Scripture as Jesus encounters the frustration of his disciples who seem to be stuck in being able to solve the problem. A father who's struggling between believing and doubting, and a young boy who seems to be gripped by a power that he cannot control that's robbing him of his destiny, his future, and his life. This story is about robbery. It's about the enemy coming to steal that which is rightfully ours. How many of you here have ever been robbed? Someone broke into your car, a stereo, your house, your wallet, put their hand in the purse and took your iPod, whatever it is. How many of you? Raise up. I want to see. All right. So most of you here, God bless Chicago, most of you here have experienced some robbery of one sort or another. So you know the feeling of just anger, betrayal. I've been violated. That was mine. That doesn't belong to you. How could you take it? There's been a couple times when I've been robbed. A couple things have been taken. The most recent one was when we started New Life Humboldt Park. I drove my car there for one of our staff meetings as we were getting ready to launch New Life Humboldt Park. And I was running a little bit late, so I jumped out of the car, ran in, and I forgot that I had left my GPS exposed there. West Humboldt Park's not a great place to leave your GPS exposed in your car. Well, when I came out, I saw it. My window had been shattered. The GPS had been taken. And I was mad. I was more mad that I had to replace a window, try to find a place. And it just bothered me that some kid would bust my window and take my time and rob my GPS, especially when we're in the community trying to help them out. There's a feeling of like, I'm aggravated. This doesn't belong to you. And we all experience that feeling of someone taking something that really belonged to us, that should not have been touched. Many of us have experienced physical robbery, but so many of us have experienced spiritual, social, emotional, relational robbery. Because what the Bible says, what Scripture says, it's taught throughout the New Testament, Jesus taught that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy that which God wants us to possess and have. That's our God-given right, our God-given destiny. But the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy all that God really wants to give us. I run into people all the time. People in the neighborhood, in the community, people that I pray for, that their life has been stripped, beaten down. They've been robbed of their marriage, robbed of their children, robbed of their finances, robbed of their health, robbed of their peace, robbed of their joy, some robbed of their destiny, some robbed of their God-given purposes in life, some robbed of their mental clarity, some robbed of their freedom as they're bound in addiction. Without realizing that, they may not even attribute it to him and not even realize that that's part of the scheme and system of the spiritual battle that we're in. That the enemy wants to come and steal everything that God has purposed in his heart to give you. In this passage, we find a man that's been robbed. I'm going to ask that you stand briefly for the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to begin reading in Mark chapter 9, verses 14. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Verse 16. What are you arguing about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who's possessed by a spirit and has been, what's it say? Has been robbed. It robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Jesus says in verse 19, O unbelieving generation, Jesus replies, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring me the boy. The word of God, you may be seated. I want you to notice that the background of this passage is that Jesus had just been, if you read verse 1 through 13, Jesus had just been to what theologians call the Mount of Transfiguration. He had just gone up to a mountain with three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And as he was on this mountain, one of the most extraordinary things happened to him in the light of his disciples. Peter, James, and John was his inner core. Suddenly, as he stood there with Peter, James, and John, Moses and Elijah, who had been dead 1,400 years and 900 years already, appeared on this Mount of Transfiguration physically with the disciples. Peter was overwhelmed by what happened, and he spoke. Well, Peter, when he was nervous, he just spoke. How many of you do that? You're nervous, you just talk. Okay, so Peter just gets nervous and he starts talking. Elijah and Moses are there, and he just, we should build three tabernacles. It's pretty bad when God has to stop you and interrupt you. A voice from heaven just basically says, hey, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. This is not about Moses and not about Elijah. This is about Jesus. And Peter, James, and John saw the manifestation of the glory of God in Jesus. The radiance of Jesus shine. They had just had this supernatural mountaintop experience in which they were discovering that Jesus was not only a healer, he was not only a teacher, he was not only a rabbi, but he was something more than that. The Son of God. God himself made man. At the core of Christianity, you cannot be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ without fully embracing the divinity of Jesus Christ. Jesus, being all God, became all man. He never gave up his godness, his deity, to become man. Jesus has always been God, will always be God. In John it says, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Logos was with God. And the Logos became man and dwelt among us. In other words, Jesus has always existed. He's from eternity past and will be into eternity present. He gave up his glory and made himself like a man, but never gave up his God deity to dwell among us. This is core.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Believing Enough to Change, which is from our current series called Jesus Up Close. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Believing Enough to Change.
A lot of people have a skewed view of Jesus. Most cults and deviations of Orthodox Christianity have a skewed, wrong view of who Jesus Christ is. And if you're going to follow Jesus according to Scripture, you need to understand that Jesus was more than just a good model to follow, but that Jesus is all God. And that's the only reason why it is through our faith in Jesus Christ that we have access to God the Father, because he was all God and became all man and died. And the blood that dripped from the cross of Calvary was not the blood of a good martyr like Gandhi or Martin Luther King or some other social reformer. This was the blood of God himself. The core of Christianity. So when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, they were abuzz with what had just happened. They were talking about it. Jesus had said, don't tell anybody. So they were busting with a secret. Wow, we just saw Jesus glow in the dark. I mean, we saw this transformation. This is the Son of God. So they came down from the mountain full of faith and full of power. And as they approached the crowd, they saw that some people were arguing and discussing, and they were raising their voices. And so Jesus approaches them and he says, when they see Jesus, everybody turns around and he says, what are you arguing about? A man in the crowd who brought his son says, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who's possessed by a spirit that's robbed him of his speech." And he goes on to describe, whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground, foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. And he says, "I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but listen, but they could not." Here's a man desperate, bringing his son to Jesus, and he ends up with his disciples. The disciples do what they always do. They lay hands on him. They say, "In the name of Jesus, be gone," but nothing seemed to happen. I'm sure they tried again and again. Maybe they gathered a few more disciples. "Hey, let's bring the crew. Let's all, six of us or seven of us, let's lay hands on him and see what happens." But they prayed and shouted and tried to cast out demons, but this one did not seem to respond. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to jot this down. When you open the doors to the enemy, he will rob you of what God intended to be yours. We don't know how this young man was exposed to demonic influence. We don't know if when he was younger, his parents were around spiritual influence and dabbled in it. We don't know if there was hatred and bitterness there that opened up the door. We don't know how this young man was exposed, but we know that he was exposed. And by the way, can I tell you, I believe that whatever parents are exposed to, they expose their children to. Nine out of ten cases that I've ever encountered with when children are heavily exposed to something, it's not because on their own they became exposed to it. It's because the covering, the doors were opened through the parents that allow it to invade the children or oppress the children. Are you hearing me today? You see, I believe that God's funnel of protection has to do with the stronger the father and the mother are, the more united they are in their faith, the more they're under the protection of the hand of God, the safer your children are. I believe there's no greater protection than a mother and father that love Jesus and are praying together on a regular basis for their children and trying to live in a godly way and submitted to the authority of Jesus. Because when the enemy tries to attack your children, he's got to go through the mom and he's got to go through the dad and he's got to go through the power of Jesus himself to try to get to the children. So they are under a strong protective covering. Many of our children are exposed to the attacks of the enemy because we've left them exposed. They've been exposed because dad has abdicated his responsibility to be a father, because mom is not focused on serving God and full of the Spirit. And so the family relation breaks down and the doors are open and the children are exposed to anger, substance abuse, jealousy, exposed to anything that the enemy wants them to have, because oftentimes we have left them exposed, haven't protected them, guarded them. We've allowed things into our own life thinking that you can isolate what's in your life and it will never affect your children. Listen to me, parents. Look up at me. This is huge. Whatever you allow into your life, you are allowing into your children's life. You say, my kids really don't know about it. You see, anytime I smoke pot, I smoke it at work and in the alley behind work. And so my kids will never know about it. Listen, they may not know about it now, but your kids are smart. They will find out about it in time. Oh, they don't know about it. Let me tell you, they may not even physically know about it, but there is a spiritual openness that you are giving to them by whatever you are involved in. Listen to me, fathers, you get involved in pornography, you get involved in in whatever you do on your computer and videos and so forth, pornography, and you think it doesn't affect your children, there's a spiritual effect that's splashing onto your children, whether they see it or don't see it. It has an effect on their life. Listen, when you are super angry and you think that it's isolated just to yourself, your anger is splashing onto the destiny of your children. Listen, when you mismanage your money and you're living in debt and in poverty, you are setting something in motion into your children's life. You are setting a cycle of poverty and indebtedness into your children's life. When you act in violence and you uncontrolled anger, and you are disciplining in a abusive way, you are setting in motion a cycle that will have deep repercussions in your children's life and their destiny. Because there is nothing that we do as parents that doesn't have a splashover effect on our children's destiny. And most of the young people that I know that are robbed in one way or another in their life, at an early age, have been robbed because in some way or another we've left the doors open for the enemy to rob them. And I don't know this man's story, but I know how life is. If his son was struggling in such a way, someone left the door open. I believe the enemy will take as much as he can take. And this young boy had been robbed of his speech. He had been robbed of a normal childhood. He would fling himself into the water. He would fling himself into fire. He would go into these convulsions. He could not speak properly. And the root of it was a spiritual issue. Number two. Change cannot start until you bring the seriousness of your robbery to the feet of Jesus. Jesus looked at this father and his young boy, and he looked at his disciples and he said, "Oh, unbelieving generation." Jesus had already been with his disciples for some time. He had given them authority in Mark chapter 6, he had given them authority to power over unclean spirits. Mark chapter 6, verse 7, he says, "He called them, the 12, and he began to send them forth two by two, and he gave them power over unclean spirits." So Jesus had already given them power over demonic spirits. Yet he looks at his disciples and he's frustrated that they have the power to help set people free, but they're not doing it. That the power's within them, but they're not exercising their power because they're bound by doubt. I don't know why these disciples doubted this time. And sometimes when the circumstances get so bad, we start to doubt whether God can really come through. How about it? I mean, you believed in prayer about certain things, but have you run into a case that just seems hopeless and you just go to pray, but you just have very little faith that it can ever turn around? That ever happened to you? Oh, you can pray for someone that's on the edge and showing signs that they want to go forward and showing signs, and you pray for them because they're hungry, they're open. But when you see a case that's so hard, so desperate, so bad, suddenly, you start believing what your eyes tell you and not what your spiritual eyes are telling you. We walk by faith, not by sight. And sometimes we let sight rob us of our faith. I believe that these disciples saw that young boy and knew that he had been there a long time that way. And maybe he was manifesting. And maybe they saw him mute and foaming at the mouth, and maybe they looked at him and began to doubt, hey, this case is so bad that maybe he's beyond hope. This case is so bad that maybe he can't change.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series, Jesus Up Close. And tonight was the first half of his message called Believing Enough to Change. Please do join us again tomorrow for the second half. Before you go, as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church this Sunday, please check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Please do tune in again tomorrow for the next Straight Talk. That's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself for tonight. We thank you for listening. Have a great evening, and God bless.